Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, now this post covering finance and property news. Another Monday evening. Of course, Edwin is back with me once again, and hopefully, Edwin, your internet connection is a little better this week.
look, I had a word with Elon, and he tells me it will be better. So fingers crossed, Martin.
I think it was probably the storms you had there last time. We've had major, major storms here in the UK. We had 2 weeks of really, really cold weather, sort of winds coming down from the north, from the Arctic. And then suddenly we had a storm coming in from the west that has knocked out power and all sorts of things all over the country. And, you know, it was pretty hairy. The weather is all over the place. And I think you've got some issues down there in Australia too, with a new sort of thing coming into Queensland in a couple of days.
Look, you've got all sorts of issues, right? But at the same time, you got to look at. I always say, Martin, when you got all these calamities around you, you got to smile and you got to laugh. So whenever I want to smile and laugh from now on, I just make it a point to look at all the people that believe the Tom Panos index. So if you want to laugh, you got to look at not necessarily what Tom says. I mean, Tom's just being Tom. Tom's just speaking shit out, right? Blurbing things out. Allegedly, he had four auctions on the weekend, and two of them got sold prior, and two he failed to sell on the day. And we're back to in my opinion, is what he's saying is that we're back to a weak market allegedly. But people believe that on one day's auctioning of one person. But that's, look, it is funny. You have to smile, you have to laugh, because it's, you know, people that they want to hold on to a belief that has no real foundations. And as I called this story from 3 weeks ago, I called bullshit on the story that Sweeney wrote on the AFR. With regards to to the amount of numbers that were allegedly coming on market towards the end of the month, because everybody was allegedly listing, and we're going to look at the numbers later on. Tom said that, or that Sweeney quotes Tom in her AFR article and says that Tom's booked out now from. From knowing Tom and following Tom, and he averages 12 to 15 auctions on from an average day to a hot day, 15 auctions he'd do on a Saturday. Last week he had four. This week we're going to see that there's only 89 properties on the market that are going under the hammer in Sydney. 89 properties in Sydney going under the hammer on Saturday, being the Australia Day long weekend. But the AFR said, according to Tom's, to the Tom index, it was, there's a lot of listings coming on and a lot of people are selling. If there's calamity all around you, Martin, just reach out to the Tom Panos index.
Oh, very, very good. Well, I'll give you another little bit of good news. According to UBS, the cost of living pressures in Australian households may have passed its peak. Consumers are resetting their spending habits, according to UBS. I'm a bit skeptical of that, I have to say. Knowing what I'm seeing from my surveys, I think there's a lot of people under some difficulty. And if you want the other side of the coin, Edwin, this was also quite interesting, that the IMF came out and basically said that the RBA needs to lift rates, the GST needs to go up. But the other recommendation they had was that they should dial back the parameters around home loans, because they're arguing that the home loan market is still overheated. So, you pays your money, you takes your choice with regards to the stories that are out there. But the truth that I'm seeing is that, and I made a show over the weekend on this, there's a lot of diversity going on at the moment, wherever you look, right? So in some areas, the markets are really hot. In other areas, the markets are not hot, and we've got price falls. And every time I put a video up that shows that in some areas prices are falling, I get abused on YouTube. I can't win, can I really?
And we can't. And this is the thing: we try to bring the numbers, which is really what seems to be the only factor. I mean, it's all numbers, numbers, numbers. And then on the percentage side of things, as I say, show me the money, and I'll show you the cooked up percentages as well. There are a lot of websites out there. There are a lot of podcasters out there. Yeah, websites with funny name, hachus or whatever they call themselves. Yeah, quoting percentages and from your core logics and everybody else. But reality is when you're actually at grassroots level, and you talk to agents and you have a broader network and people give you the duck's guts of what's happening in the market, and you're able to see it. And you can. We know that some of the mainstream sites, your core logics and all those, the data lag. So we'll see rises before we start seeing plateaus. But at the end of the day, we've also got to not only look at certain numbers, but you've also got to extrapolate this and look at what's happening on a global scale in order to understand what is the potential or the greater potential to happen here. I mean, very few. I think it was yourself, myself, and Tarek that were first to the post in commenting about the immigration changes and policies and how that was going to affect the property market. I mean, what names did we get called at that time? And what names are we still being called when we bring a lot of this to light? But we look at all this information in order to help and address some of the issues and help the people that are looking at, as I say, that are looking at buying, that are looking at selling, that are looking at renting. Hopefully the information that they get from our videos, from our podcast, is something that they can use to put them in a better standing, in a better position than every other Tom, Dick and Harry that's out there looking to buy, looking to sell, or looking to rent as well. So look, for Tom's counter on the shaky, the alleged shaky market, I mean, I'm putting up my own story there then of what happened on the weekend. And what's happening in the Campbelltown region over the last 2 weeks when the listings have been coming on, it is scary stuff. So so if you want to have a laugh, you go to those and look at the posts of those that follow the Tom Panels Index. But if you want to if you're into scary stories and if you're into scary movies and scary stories, watch the video that Martin's about to post.
So we've been inspecting homes for a client in the Campbelltown region. We've looked at approximately 10 to 11 properties. Most of the ones that we've looked at are now under offer, and this only in the last week and a half. There's a lot of interest in that region because of the low entry point. You've got owner-occupiers and investors at some properties making up to 20 to 30 groups attending the open for inspection. So some may say that people are under mortgage stress and selling, but there's a hell of a lot of people buying.
And this is with regards to open houses and what we're experiencing, what the team is experiencing down in Campbelltown region as we're looking for clients down there. It is scary from the point of view of a buyer's position, but it's great news for vendors and for real estate agents because people are tripping over themselves to buy, Martin. So as you said in your video that you put out, calling the looking at the different market scenarios or the property falls. I can't remember the title of your video. But you make a very point and a very on point comment at the beginning of the video. Not all markets not all markets act the same or are acting the same way or will continue to act the same way, as we will discuss this later on in the numbers for sale and another article that we're going to talk about later on in this show.
Yeah, and the thing about your video, Edwin, is that it is based on what's actually there now, right? So you sort of slide down the list under offer, under offer, under offer, and I think you make the point, and it's one underscoring that here properties are still relatively cheap, quote unquote, relatively cheap in compared with other areas, and there's quite high demand. So maybe no surprise that in those areas we're actually seeing quite a lot of momentum. Compare that with the other coastal towns, which is what my video was about, where in fact the supply-demand equilibrium is completely different, and there we're seeing prices continuing to ease back. So what I get frustrated about is these high-level commentaries about what's happening in the property market, right? And as you know, and I know, Edwin, it's not a market, it's markets plural, and different markets are behaving very differently at the moment. And that's very important for people to understand. You can go 100 yards down the road and you can see quite different property values for all sorts of good reasons. But unless you actually understand and really go granular and understand what's going on, you can easily make a mistake at the moment.
Look, 100%, Martin, and we are in two different markets altogether when it comes to Sydney and Melbourne, and which highlight we've been highlighting that over the last year from last year, and we'll continue to highlight that. And it's only now that the mainstream media are picking up on certain things that you and I have been discussing for a while now. So two different markets. I mean, Brisbane is just off the charts, given the fact that they've only got, just over 3,000 listings on market or so, or so, yeah, to date, obviously, because it's a lazy town, and it takes them a little bit longer to get back on their feet from the long break. But as you said, so, we won't go into that much. But then you've got local markets where, as we shared earlier on, you could literally be across the road from each other. Two homes, two properties could be literally across the road from each other, built by the same builder, back in the 70s or 80s, and be on the same block, same envelope, same land envelope, fixtures and fittings. Let's say that pretty much the same standard. They haven't done anything, and you could be $50,000 to $100,000 apart. Why? Because of the way that the LEP cuts through that road. Or you could be in the same suburb, and you could have again homes that were built in a similar era by perhaps even the same builder at that time, and you could be $400,000 to $500,000 apart. Why? Because one's been fully renovated and highly sought after, and the other one hasn't. And the vendors have require a quick sale because they've got to retire. These are all the things that we talk to our clients, we talk to our friends, we talk to our relatives about when you're looking at property. And this is something that you and I have been trying to talk to our audience for many years now. But it's hard, as you say, Martin, because everybody looks at one index. They stick to it because that's the index that they want to believe is going to happen so that they can enter the market when they feel it's right to enter the market, and block their ears and blindfold their eyes from everything else. I'm one to believe that we present a broader picture and a broader analysis of what's happening day by day, week by week. It's a to-date commentary, and we bring in information from literally from all over the world that's impacting our property market here.
Yeah, I've got a new idea for you, Edwin. I think we should have three blind monkeys and an elephant, right? To conflate two different parables, right? Because of course you've got the three blind men who are trying to work out what this thing is, and of course it feels different because you're actually in different areas. And you've got the three monkeys, you know, speak no evil, hear no evil, et cetera, because they've got their hands over their ears. Put the two together, I think that's probably where we've got to at the moment, because there are lots and lots of people who are so fixated on a particular idea about how things are and the way things work without actually taking account of what's actually happening on the ground. And, you know, I find that quite frustrating. But I suppose the good news is that if you are somebody who is actually really wanting to know what's going on the ground and to get into the detail, you can actually move to a very significant advantage relative to the great unwashed who don't really seem to care about what's actually going on. It's about ideology and about you know, what they think's going on, and that's a big difference.
Oh, look, definitely. And this is something that you're going to find. And when they start going through the Monday evening property rants and for, you know, for the previous years, they can piece it all together if the data's shit. But yeah, we do overlap on certain stories because they are relevant to every week that we put out, or you can go on a monthly basis. I mean, we try to share as much as we want. I mean, and that brings us to the segment of the WeChat chatterers. I mean, this is something that again, we discussed that a few weeks ago with regards to the Foreign Investment Review and the figures. But it's interesting when you get it from the perspective of the WeChat chatterers from their platform, which the mainland Chinese or Chinese that are in all over the world are on. You know, read the Tencent, read the WeChat platform, the Tencent, and all the others that they have that they share articles on. They share the posts, but it's interesting with their perspective, and more so for Dusty as she interprets of this for me is what the comments below the articles have to say about that particular article. In this case, referencing this is the latest data from the Foreign Investment Review Board, which we touched on a couple of weeks ago, and what was happening. There were mainstream media articles as well, and they're talking about how it's increased the ownership of property. From foreigners, Australian ownership of property, foreign ownership of Australian property has increased by 40% in the last, in the last year. But the majority of the comments, Martin, are centered around and focusing on the Singaporeans and the Indian contingency and how they're related, of course. They're related because, which we're going to touch on in a article later on as well. With now, there's going to be they're looking at the fact that they, the effectively they're going to sue our government for back, to pay back the taxes that they got charged for buying property here in Australia. Now, that's already been said. That's already been spoken about in the mainstream, and articles being posted about it. But the thing that I want to highlight to our viewers is what are the WeChat chatterers saying, and the majority of what they're saying, based on all that information that's in this article, is they're saying, therefore, we need to press the buy now button before more Singaporean and more Indian nationals invest into the Sydney market, and I would say into the extended Brisbane and also parts of the Melbourne market, more the not so much the fringes, but more the high value properties in Melbourne. So this is, and why is this important? Why is this relevant to our followers, to our viewers? It's because our followers and our viewers understand that the WeChat contingency, the investors, the local WeChat investors are a big group, and it doesn't take a lot to shift the Sydney market in particular, because it's not a relatively a big market when you think that there's only 14,000 properties or so for sale in Sydney. I mean, that's nothing compared to other cities, global cities, let alone to investment groups that are that are hot to trot for, to buy into investment properties and upgrade the current principal places of residence. So that's a commentary and that's a relevance. So if the local chatterers are saying that, also the foreign the chatterers overseas are looking at it as well. They're reading the same thing, and if they're going to, as I say, a lot of these people that are investing in Australia, they've got the money out of China, mainland China, years ago, and they've had it sitting in other parts of the world, and they're obviously now focusing very much on in Australia, apart from, as we've already mentioned, but also apart from focusing in the focusing their sights on the golden era of the new kids on the block, the Vietnamese, which also impact us because more money goes into Vietnam, more money's invested in Vietnam, their property values go up, people are compensated a lot more. And guess what? The people, the Vietnamese, the people in Vietnam don't necessarily want to reinvest in their own country. They're looking at, they've got their sights on Australian property, in particular the Sydney market. So this is what's around the corner for 2024.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned earlier on the issue about the property taxes and whether they could be illegal. And this article was quite interesting, right? Because it made the connection between foreign buyers, property taxes, and property buyers from India, which of course we've been chatting about quite recently.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what the Silent Tigers are all elated. They're all excited about. Again, it's one thing that I want to underscore, and I think we've tried to underscore in all our rants, is that this is information that we're giving out. And I've always said, and you've always said, Martin, the bunnies or the sheep that have been taken to the slaughterhouse are the local Aussies. The local Aussies, the new people that want to buy into the market, the first-time buyers, or be second-time home buyers that have want to go come back into the market, and people that are just simply wanting to have a piece of the great Australian dream, as it was known in the 70s and 80s. Can no longer get that slice of the pie because of the silly and draconian and quite frankly, stupid policies that both sides of the aisle have brought upon the Australian people. And now the Australian dream has become an absolute nightmare, even to have a roof over your head, even from a rental point of view. So this is it. This is the idiocy of the policies that the governments have put on there. And I noticed today in some of the posts on social media, and Albanese got almost hit over the head or something. There was a demonstration somewhere where he was speaking about whatever, and people were demonstrating. I mean, this is just the beginning. As I keep on saying, if we think that South America, where I come from, or even Ecuador, it's an absolute disaster at the moment with the sicarios and the gangs there that want to take control of the country and the corruption that's there. If we think the South American countries are a bastard case, wait until the Australian people stand up and have a revolution here. It's because of because it's where the politicians are taking us. Desperate people do desperate things. I mean, Melbourne is going having a lot of reports about violence. Brisbane as well. I don't hear as much as what we're hearing is happening down in Melbourne. And look, it's watch this space coming to your neighbourhood soon because of the cost of living is just climbing. And as I keep on saying, people may be asset rich. They may be sitting on 2, 3, 4, 5 million dollars worth of equity in their homes, but The unfortunate thing is they've got no money to repair the homes. They've got no money to upkeep them, and they've got no money to put food and on the table. You know, a Vegemite sandwich on the table. And at the end of the day, you can only eat so much grass, and you can only grow so many mushrooms in your backyard, before you start desiring other things, because you can't eat the bricks and the mortar that your $5 million dwelling's built of, can you? So it's crazy, Martin. It's an absolute crazy world.
No, it is a crazy world. And you mentioned Victoria. Of course, there was an article that said Victorian property experts have warned that homeowners and buyers that they are set for one of the most complex years in the state's housing market history as major government mandated changes hit home. I think that's another important point. You know, that we have a situation where, in fact, the truth is that governments have messed in housing markets for years and years and years and years. And, you know, Victoria is just the latest example of that. But I'll tell you something, Edwin. There was a part, an article published by Per Capita. They've done some analysis on the amount of government money that directly or indirectly has poured into supporting the property sector over the last couple of decades. And I'll put it up, which shows just how much has come through from negative gearing, from the tax breaks, from rental support and other schemes as well. It's a massive amount of money that you know, federal government have thrown at property, and of course the states have done the same as well. So we're in the situation where the property market is completely messed up. It's not really a true market. It's a market that's messed around with all this government money that's thrown left, right, and centre.
Yeah, money that's thrown left, right, and centre, not at the people that actually need it, but at bloody at the lobbyists and at the think tanks, and the creation of new think tanks, the creation of new government bodies to think about how they're going to help. The single parents, how they're going to help families with pets, and all, and they come up with some crazy ideas that is that are literally, which you and I again spoke about the changes. We spoke about what was coming. We've been saying this for over 2 years. We started talking about how it was going to affect the Melbourne property market from 2 years ago, when a lot of these think tanks were thinking about all these crazy policies that they were going to implement with regards to rental, that now in force, and how is that working out? Comparing it to New Zealand, we were comparing it to other parts where governments tried to directly influence certain outcomes, all for brownie points or for voting. For voting ticks or numbers, so that they can win elections. And what does it do? It just stifles the market. It creates a mess, and we are now in a spaghetti. It's I call it spaghetti policy, because it's just like a bowl of spaghetti. Yeah, there's everything's intertwined. Nothing really makes sense. It doesn't even taste good. I should call it a stale plate of spaghetti left out in a hot sun, summer's day for a whole week. That's what these work policies are now. So now you've got your land tax. Your land tax came into effect January 1, right? They've gone from applied for it was applied for for land to it came into effect from land that was 300K or more. It goes down to 50,000. I mean, this is scary stuff. You've got absentee ownership surcharge again from coming into power from January 1, 2024. It goes from 2% to 4%. To scare and ward off investors, foreign investors. Gas, the gas substitute from January 1, 2024. Interestingly, I believe I'm totally convinced that that was the nail that basically sunk this and the investment market, because that is pretty much after that is when the WeChat chatterers said pull out of Melbourne, because it's not so much the it's the then how are we going to have a potential renters in our investment properties there, if the potential renters that they look for or in the areas that they look at property to buy to lease out are in where ethnic groups concentrate, and the ethnic groups they focus on the cooking lifestyle is pretty much centered around gas stoves. So in and something as some people might say, it's still a cooktop, it's still an electric cooktop. No, but it's something some people may think that that's insignificant, but that more or less was the last nail in the coffin, and they pulled out, and that was huge. But the mainstream don't pick that thing up because they don't talk to the WeChat chatterers. They don't read what they say. They don't read what investors say, what the real investors say. And I'm not talking about the investors on Reddit and on Facebook and that buy investment properties off without knowing what they're buying or where they're buying or how much it's really going to cost them. I'm talking about sophisticated investor groups that are predominantly based in Sydney, and also the ones that are based in mainland China with a lot of property. With big property portfolios both in Sydney and Melbourne. When they called get out of Melbourne, that was it. So then you've obviously got others that scare the local investors, was the short stay accommodation levy from January coming being forced January 1st, 2025. The vacant residential land tax again will come into force in January 1st, 2025. Then of course is the NCC, the National Construction Code, that changed pretty much put the construction the building and construction industry on its head, and the increase in costs that you and I spoke about way before everybody else was speaking about it. And let's not leave out the already in place fit for purpose policies that on the one hand it's great for the tenant, but it was brought out in a way that the tenants aren't really benefiting from it. As a matter of fact, you could say that they're losing more than what they're gaining, because there's less rentals on the market because people just don't want to do certain things to their properties to bring it up to speed, and they've been selling. Hence the reason why we've got the huge amount of numbers on market in comparison to Sydney, which is chalk and cheese. You've got almost double the amount of properties on market in Melbourne to what you have in Sydney, and yet the rentals are pretty much on par with between Melbourne and Sydney. It's crazy. The government certainly messed this one up, Mark.
Absolutely, they did. And just a side bar, which is quite relevant. You mentioned gas, of course. The announcement over the weekend of the latest gas agreement with the suppliers to provide more gas. Well, sort of, except of course that the price is still a bit elastic, and we're still seeing that Australians are exposed to the international gas price. And I don't think the latest announcement really is going to have a huge impact either. So, there are so many negative thrusts going on at the moment with regard to what's going on. And, you see Mark Burras's comments. He's saying, actually, you ain't seen nothing yet. Families will be forced to sell their homes within months as the mortgage cliff erupts. So, he's calling, further pain. And it's certainly in my surveys, I see a bit of that. But it is interesting that he's come out and is continuing to essentially suggest there's more trouble ahead.
Yeah, look, you and I know that there will be more trouble ahead. This is nothing new, right? But in the way, is Mark trying to take an empathetic approach now from what he was? Remember when he first, to middle towards the end of last year, he was saying sell, 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 and we were saying, okay, if you sell, where do you go? And again, these are the things. But look, it does bring out a point. The fact that now that a lot of local families are under pressure. But the other side to that coin is even he is admitting what you and I have been saying. Is he admitting, is that message going to also get across to Tom Panos, his mate? The fact that, hey, who's buying? Investors are buying homes that people are selling that can't afford to keep them anymore, and also not only local investors but also foreign investors and foreign buyers that are coming in. So he's not really saying anything that what you and I haven't been talking about. The only thing here is that I can see is that he's taking more of an empathetic approach now than what he was in previous articles, where he was actually encouraging people to sell. And like you said, like I said, but where do you go? But he also points out the fact that, and I think he's a little bit late to that, to the party, and that is what you, myself, and if you recall the conversation that we had with Louis Christopher, where we pointed out almost a year ago what people were going to do without when they want to secure or save the roof over their head, which is the principal place of residence. I mean, this is nothing new, Martin. And the question is, and we may have conflicting thoughts and opinions as to, there'll be two camps, and they'll be very distinctive camps. And one camp is calling for higher rate rises, and the other camp is saying that we need the RBA to drop the rates as well. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. So what's going to happen? But at the end of the day, regardless of what they do, and regardless of how long it takes to bring the rates down, or how far they'll come down, or how much higher will they go in the meantime, whilst we're sinking deeper and deeper into a recession, people are doing without, and all because there is still no option out there to, unless you start going regional. And that's my call for this year, is that the regional markets will get an influx, will get once again see a surge in property buyers coming back to the regions from the city. So because the locals have been priced out by local investors that convert their homes into not your tradi that don't put them back out into your traditional rental market, and also foreign buyers that are coming in with PR, ready, willing, and able to buy, and they're not buying with your 10% or 5% or your 2% or your 1% joint venture agreement with the government, all that sort of shenanigans. They're coming in with 30-40% deposits, very, very low LVRs, and they don't think twice about making silly offers on properties at times.
No, absolutely. It is a pretty scary time for many, and I'm seeing a lot of people, caught between. I'm in rental accommodation. Do I try and buy something? Do I go a long way out? Do I buy cheap, or do I buy a small unit, not for my own purposes, but to try and get into the property market? This whole concept of, by the way, the property ladder, it seems to me, is an illusion, right? Because the assumption is that property prices always go up and to the right. Well, maybe, maybe not. But at the moment, the gap that's being forced into the market because people can't afford to get in because affordability is very much a problem, with rents being so high, many people are being caught out. And the other point, of course, which is sort of what Mark is saying, is that, well, of course, the die is cast insofar that we've got a lot of people, a lot of mortgages, and those mortgage rates are a lot higher. And the longer this goes on, the worse it's going to get. And it's interesting that now a lot of people are still suggesting that the rate cuts won't come till way later than expected. In fact, the IMF report I mentioned earlier on, and they're not talking about rate cuts for quite some time, and talking about 2026 before maybe the inflation is back in target. So this is a long journey ahead. A lot of people are caught in the crosshairs, as it were, of this. And like I said, governments keep throwing money, but they don't throw money in the right place. And, you know, taxpayers are subsidizing some people within the property market extensively, but it's not necessarily going to those who need it. It's going to those who actually perhaps have a bigger portfolio of properties, et cetera. So unless we get this root and branch change that we need, I don't think we're going to get it, you know, there's going to be more chaos ahead. So I think that Victorian summary is probably relevant for other markets markets too. Let's just flip on to look at some of the numbers, right? Because the numbers are quite interesting. So let's just quickly look at Sydney. So this is as at the 22nd of January, with 14,343 properties for sale in the Sydney region. And if you compare that with last week, it was 13,493. So, you know, things are beginning to move, but maybe not dramatically.
Look, they are moving, and it is a healthy rise for a week. And we had a healthy rise last week as well. But there's still a lot of hunger out there, and there's still a lot of appetite out there for a lot of these properties. A lot of these properties are the older style properties in your outskirts of Sydney that are coming on, and they're at a low value. They're getting absorbed fairly quickly. By buyers and investors. The more traditional markets of where your two million plus, they're still asleep. They're still on holidays, and we won't see a rise in those areas, in a lot of areas in Sydney, until pretty much the second week of February. After the school kids go back in and things get, things settle down a little bit. And obviously then there are the markets that are being influenced by, from a buyer's point of view, that are being influenced by the WeChat chatterers, and, you've got the the Chinese New Year, otherwise known as the Spring Festival is from the 10th to the 15th. So a lot of these properties that are coming on now, they're coming on obviously to have either the auctions or try to make the most of the marketing campaign just before the Chinese festivals and post in those areas. But the majority of the new listings that we're seeing are more in the outskirts. Where the entry point is still below the your, in some cases below your 700 and below your 800,000, and first time buyers, young, the younger, the more agile, the more willing are to travel that much further or make that bigger sacrifice. But then again, you look at the in a number of these regions, like your Campbelltown region. I've been going there for over the last couple of weeks now, and it's interesting how the communities there are gravitating towards there. And then of course you've got your Badgerys Creek Airport area, you've got those the subdivisions closer to the new airport that are also will put upward pressure on Campbelltown by the sheer infrastructure that's happening down that way. Whilst its properties are sitting underneath 800, there are a lot of people from all walks of life making that journey, being prepared to travel that little bit further. But then again, some are also going there because of the belief that there will be work closer to a lot of the the areas where the all that infrastructure around the new airport is being built.
Absolutely right. Well, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out and whether the listings continue to rise. Certainly, I've spoken to a couple of agents who've saying they've got more listings to come on. So we'll see how that goes. It's worth even looking at the comparison between there and Melbourne, right? So Melbourne on the 15th had 23,546 properties. That's a lot higher, of course, than Sydney, as we said. And 24,046 on the 22nd. So again, we're seeing a bit of a rise in properties in the Melbourne region as well. It's interesting that the analysis that I've been looking at suggests that, in fact, the property market in Victoria is continuing to slide, and property values are beginning to slide back because, of course, we've just got more listings.
Yeah, we've got more listings, and we've got less people willing to really jump in there. And I guess in a way, Martin, because you've got your look by hook or by crook, the chatterers do influence a lot of markets, and some of the more naive chatterers will play silly money, and will kickstart a lot of markets, surprisingly, because all of a sudden they've got an appetite for that particular area. So now we've got the opposite happening, and your locals there, they've got a bit more of a smorgasbord of properties. But again, you've got to be prepared to go into the regional areas. You've got 12,000 homes listed for sale in the Melbourne region, as opposed to 5,000 apartments, whereas you look at the Sydney numbers and you're pretty much on par around about the 6,000, 6,500 for each apartments and homes. So it's two distinct markets, all together. But again, also, you've as you pointed out, you've got 500 new listings have dropped on the market there, and it's a watch this space as to how many more listings will come on as we getting closer to winter, and what happens there. Again, I keep on saying that Melbourne is going to continue to list a lot more as more investors pull out. And the reason why I say that is because the investors are not putting the properties back on the rental market, and hence the reason why your rental numbers have dropping dramatically in Melbourne.
Yeah, we'll come on to rentals in a second. And just highlighting again how these markets are discrete and different. If you look at the Brisbane story, right? So the Brisbane story is completely different. So there we've just got 2,954 properties in the Brisbane region. That's either the 15th. And if you jump forward to the 22nd, it's gone up very slightly, just over 3,000. But gee, that's completely different market, isn't it? And it's just underscoring again that you have to go granular here. You can't just talk generally about the property market. These three markets are very, very different.
Yeah, extremely different. And then you've got every town in between. You've got every town in between as well. You've got your Central Coast from Sydney to Newcastle, there are some crazy prices being paid in Eveleigh, Woi Woi, in all those areas up there. But again, it's a lifestyle. People choosing a lifestyle. You can still commute. Are they working from home? All these things are factored in, as per the article that Sweeney put out in the AFR with regards to the drops, which you referred to in your video. And that is, she's talking about the more your holiday areas where you will experience that downfall, and you brought out the your old stomping ground. How for real, how that's come down as well from its peak. Again, it's because of what's happening in terms of work situation. What does it cost to get into the market, and what other? It will be interesting. I mean, I don't follow Wollongong. I've got no clients down there at the moment, nor have any of my other members. But it would be interesting to see, which markets down there at a lower price point than what your property was, and what that's doing. I'm sure that's acting totally different to your 2.5 million and above price points. Where you've got areas in Wollongong where they're still below your 700 or 800,000.
Yeah, if you go south of Wollongong towards Shoalhaven, it's a very different story as to what's going on there. And generally, what we're finding is that the properties in the lower price bands are holding value better than the more expensive ones. But the big change, of course, that we saw in the Illawarra and elsewhere was through COVID, where people, wanted to get out of the city, and so they bought some a property down the coast, as it were, where there's more open space. And that's one of the reasons why property prices doubled in some areas. But of course, they then changed their mind when COVID went over. And so this whole supply-demand disequilibrium created a wrecking ball through the local markets. In the meantime, locals couldn't buy in their local communities, and so they were forced to go quite a lot further south from Wollongong, commuting further, of course, in. Again, it just shows you the consequences of bad policy and how it translates through into the overall property markets. And this isn't going to get sorted out anytime soon. This is a generational problem now. I suppose we should just briefly touch on the auctions, and notice that the auction numbers are beginning to fire up, but I guess it won't really come back to the boil, if there is going to be a boil, until after the 26th.
Yeah, these are the numbers again. These are the Sydney region numbers based on the domain, what domain posts. The only thing that I want to again have a dig at is the Tom Panos Index, and those that believe the Tom Panos Index, and ask the question, where are the listings? Where are the so-called auctions? Where are the auctioneers, so-called auctioneers? From memory, there's 1700 or 1800 registered auctioneers, actively registered auctioneers in the Sydney region. It's not a lot of not a lot of not, not a lot of food to put on the table if there's only 89 listings for sale under an auction campaign this coming weekend, and 71 the previous. So you've really got to look at your overall numbers, is what I guess what we're saying, Martin. As much as I have a dig at old mate Tom and those that more so having a dig at those that follow and religiously believe what he says, and not realizing that he changes his mind every other week. But it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the point is that the number of auctions are very low, and how's that going to work? Let's just talk about rentals, because the rental sector is also worth looking at. In the Sydney rental sector, on the 15th, there were 10,779 properties listed for rent in the Sydney region, and it's dropped. So on the 22nd, it was 10,151. So as expected, after the holidays, the rental market's beginning to move again. Not good news if you're looking for a rental property, I suppose. And I guess we'd have the view, I think, Edwin, that this is probably going to be a continued bad story over the next few months.
Oh, look, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse, Martin. And the reason why I say it's going to get worse because, and this is just anecdotal, but from the chatter that's on the tradie chatter, WeChat chatter that Dusty follows. She's now on four or five groups of tradies, and the masters. They are short-staffed, and when Dusty asks the question on those groups as to what why are they like why are they short staffed this? Because they and why are they so desperate to get people? As I said, we said before in a previous podcast, it's because a lot of little brothers, a lot of tradespeople that have been working in Sydney for the last 3 4 years, become homesick, and they've made enough money. And they're now, on the way back to the families in China, and they've built, a good little nest egg over the last, in particular over the last 3 years, and that's it. C'est la vie, and they don't really have a lot of people to replace them, and they've also got a higher demand for from other WeChat chatterers, wanting homes. More so homes to be modified to not have your standard one kitchen, one or two bathrooms, but to have three kitchens, four or five bathrooms, accommodating your budget accommodation scenario. And this is where we're going to really see, and a lot of the ones that had been being in preparation or have been taken out from the rental market last year. They're not coming back into your traditional market, and there's a lot more because of the call that the chatterers have made. Let's get in before we start competing head on with the Silent Tigers when they start bringing in more money from India, and when the Singaporeans start coming in droves, because that's why they speak. You've got your Malay Chinese and your Singaporean Chinese. It's to them, it's a different culture, different nationality altogether. But at the end of the day, it's investors that they are they want to beat them to the punchline, and they're basically saying, all the everybody else that's suffering, bring it on, bring on the listing, so we can have more choice, and we can the appetite's there. Hence the reason why I keep on saying over and over again, the rental market is going to get squeezed even harder, because a lot of these properties that are going to be sold by your traditional investors are not going to come back, and are not coming back onto your traditional rental market, Martin. It's going to be scary, and we're seeing a lot of that in your in the Victorian rental market as well.
Yeah, well, the Victorian rental market, there's less rental properties on the market compared with Sydney, whereas in listings for prices, properties to sell are double the Sydney one. So that tells you where the pain is and what's going to happen, I think. Again, I see in a lot of my surveys we're seeing a lot of property investors in the Melbourne market just exiting, and exiting quickly. And remember that about 60% of investment properties in the Melbourne area are actually underwater from a cash flow perspective. So people are losing money. And with all of those changes that we discussed earlier on in terms of the way that the Victorians are actually tightening the screws on property investors for all sorts of different dimensions, it's not surprising that we're seeing it. So it's not a good story for those who are looking to rent in the Victorian market, I'm afraid. And it shows you again that just how much the markets are disrupted by government policy, from various dimensions, and it's not a free market. It's a very, very directed market.
Yeah, it's interesting. I sometimes I wonder, Martin. Like I sort of look at the in terms of per capita sort of thing scenario. Like you sort of think, I wonder which industry group has the most investment properties. Let's say, for example, a lot of people think that real estate agents in Globo would have more investment properties under their belt than any other industry. Let's say, for example, your mechanics, or your doctors, or the lawyers. I tend to think that we all sit under the biggest industry body, which is your politicians. I reckon they've got the most amount of of investment properties per capita.
Yeah, well, it's certainly true in New Zealand. I think it's true in Australia. The disclosure, of course, is not very great, so it's sometimes difficult to decode it. But I have seen some articles recently suggesting that Australian politicians are particularly inclined to hold multiple investment properties, which may give you a bit of a clue as to what they're thinking about. Well, as we come to the end of the show, Edwin, your thought, tip of the week.
Yeah, my tip of the week, Martin, is stock up, but not necessarily stocking up on investment properties. And not in Melbourne. stock up on food and materials. Little birdies about the place are just chirping and tweeting and telling me all sorts of things. And there's certain materials that a lot of our tradies are stocking up on. Our electricians are stocking up on once again on electrical wiring, but also I guess for our viewers, I also started sort of looking at that. Okay, if we're going to have the same effect on materials moving forward, well, what about food? Not necessarily that we get our import our food, we get it locally, but it's more the packaging that comes from overseas that will affect our food supply. So, look, this week, three times now that I've been told by certain groups to stock up. So just pass that little tip on. Stock up on materials if you're a tradie watching our show, or you're in, you just want to stock up on materials because you're looking at doing something or renovating or doing something to your property or family's property. But more importantly, stock up on those non-perishable food items that you can keep on your cupboard for months and months enjoy later when you open it up later on.
Yeah, well, certainly the disruption internationally with regard to shipping and transport would suggest that some of those products and services may be less available, and the level of uncertainty around the world and locally would suggest that, forewarned is forearmed when it comes to some of those things. Edwin, I want to say thank you very much once again. Great to chat with you. And internet was little today, but a bit flaky in places, so you'll have to send another X message to Elon to say, hey, can you put a few more satellites up, please? We need better connections up in the mountains.
Yeah, I'm just looking outside. Very overcast, so I think these satellites don't work too well when there's a lot of cloud cover.
No, that is unfortunately true. Anyway, thank you very much for that, and I'll look forward to doing it all again next week when there'll be another load of stuff that we can go through and try and keep our followers up to date with what's happening on the property front. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there is, and looking forward to it, Martin. All the best there.
See ya. Take care. Bye-bye.